Welcome to the Health and Fitness Frederick Podcast, where we discuss all things related to health and wellness. We dispel common myths and misconceptions regarding healthcare, and we do it in a way that you can actually understand. And it is hosted by yours truly, Dr. Matt Silver, Doctor of Physical Therapy, and founder of Alpha Project Physio and Performance. All right, guys, thanks for joining us today. And today in the podcast, I have a special guest. We met about a month ago, and we both have kind of similar stories on what we do and why we do it. So I'm really happy to present Luis Valentine on the podcast today. So Luis, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a fun journey to get to know you and your work, and I think we have a lot of parallel paths and fun things that in common that we share. So I'm excited to see where the conversation goes today.
Yep. I mean, yeah, anytime we talk, it just kind of, I'm like, yeah, we have a plan. And then it realized it just like flows into like topics that were like, oh, we didn't think about talking about this, but this is gold. This is a really good thing to talk about. So I know your story, I know mine parallels it a lot, but I guess jump right into kind of how to high school, you went to college, and kind of tell everybody about how kind of what you were going to do and then how it didn't turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out.
Yeah. So I've always envisioned myself in a very traditional healthcare role. I grew up in a family of caretakers and truly enjoyed experimenting with optimizing my own physical performance growing up, nutrition, you know, when I was younger, trying to find ways that were effective for losing weight. Started off honestly a little bit more in like the vain side of things, like how do I look good on the beach, kind of, you know, how am I going to run well as a, you know, high school cross country runner type thing. But as I got older into college, I started going down this path of traditional healthcare, thinking, all right, maybe I want to be a doctor because that's a way that I can give back. It's a nice income. And it's just a very caring profession. So I was very dedicated for the first couple of years of undergrad to, you know, that hunt for med school and the MCATs and taking all the hard classes and doing all the hard things. And then when I started to truly get into learning more about like the practical aspect, it didn't quite feel right. And I can't explain back when I was younger what exactly that turning point was for me, but it's like, you know what? I really love studying the human physiology, and the school I was at didn't have exercise science or exercise physiology. So here I was jumping schools and started hopping around different wellness paths. So I studied dietetics and got all the way up to the finish line with that and realized dietetics just wasn't quite for me. And, so I decided to stop my undergrad and I went to massage therapy school. I got a degree in that and started my own business and loved it. So here I was in a completely different lane of healthcare. And my dad's like, oh no, you're never going to make any money as a massage therapist. What are you doing? Yeah. But I loved it. And I was, you know, really dedicated to studying and getting good mentors in the field to really develop a skill set. And early on was lucky enough to meet those mentors who taught me true sports and medical massage therapy. So I did start a business in sports and medical massage before completing my undergrad, which, you know, everyone's like, oh, you'll never go back to finish your undergrad degree. Yeah. What are you doing? This is crazy. And I ended up getting a job with the NFL. You know, I was just like relentless on this pursuit of bettering myself as a professional, mm-hmm. and wanted that elite market of athletes and those looking to optimize performance. So it worked out. I didn't stop, you know, I never gave up.
Yeah.
But I had this beautiful sports and medical massage therapy company for quite a few years.
And I think when you talk about, hey, I went to college and I was going to become a medical doctor, and I want to become a dietitian, and then dropped out and said, or chose to become a massage therapist. I think that nowadays, that would scare a lot of people. I think we're in this culture of you have to go to college to be successful. And to be honest with you, that's not the case, right? Like, I know people that have like $1 million, lawn mowing companies, right? I know people that know people that, so like, you don't need to go to college to yes, higher education is great, but that this mentorship and fellowship program that you said you had with kind of these sports massage therapists, like, that is having a mentorship of somebody who is really good at something. College is great, not knocking it, but having a mentor is, I think that's huge. Just having somebody show you, hey, this is what I do, this is how you do it. Not necessarily in an academic setting, but that's pretty cool.
And also too, by jumping,
No, you can go.
I think we got caught off there. And also too, by jumping into that practical side of things and really starting to see what worked, what didn't, what was the need in the field. I also learned that, you know, strength and conditioning specialist credential was something that was really applicable to my field and could better myself as a sports and medical massage therapist. So then once I was in that realm, I started adding on the credentials that made sense, that truly helped me design the type of business and the type of care that I wanted to provide.
Nice. So what made you decide, I mean, it might be a multitude of factors, but what made you decide, hey, when you were in undergrad and in pre-med or in the pre-dietetics program, what made you decide, hey, this isn't for me? What was that light bulb moment?
Well, you know, a lot of the models where we're just going with science for the sake of science, not really thinking about the person that we're treating, the person in front of us, their specific situation. A lot of it was really fast paced. Like, it was just for the sake of billing, right? It's like, this person's here. I felt like there was, in a lot of traditional healthcare models and businesses, this missing piece where you were just rushed and you really truly weren't taking the time to get to know the person's specific need. Because you can, it's very easy. I have a master's of public health now, so I understand the idea that you can take population models and apply them to most people, and it'll probably work-ish. It'll do something for them. But is it what's best for, is it really what's best for the person? Is that really going to optimize their outcomes? So that piece was a little bothersome to me. And then I also didn't like the fact that you weren't necessarily giving people tools. You're empowering that individual to make changes. It was like a Band-Aid solution sometimes versus in my massage therapy work, I always said, you know, if you come to me and you're looking for an exercise plan, if you're looking for, because I'm an exercise physiologist now, so that's within my scope of practice. But, you know, if you're looking for, I have this ache, I have this pain, or I want to strengthen this area, I can sit there and work on you and manipulate you physically in person. But what do you do when you go home? You know, like, I want that person to have the tools to help themselves. And then, you know what? You'll always come back to me. You'll always have something that'll be in pain. You'll always have a need. But if I really empower you with the tools, tips, and tricks that you need to take care of yourself too, your life is going to be so much better. And that's just a kind of a rare model, right? It's not like you need 8 sessions with me or you need 35 sessions with me at this price per month. You know, it's
3 times a week. You have to come back. So I think that's, I love how you say empowering people and the model of, not that it's a horrible model, which I understand why it's there because, right. Like seeing, if you have to see so many patients an hour, you're like, well, you know, if you have a cookie cutter kind of solution and you apply it to some people and it kind of works a little bit, I guess that's not a bad idea, but in the long run and being able to personalize something, I think this is where we really connect because that's how I run my practices, right? I only see people they get my one-on-one attention for an hour, right? And I think we really clicked on this of, hey, giving people the quality of care they deserve. And right, some people might not be a great candidate to work with you, Luis. Like, you work with a lot of athletes, right? People that A, can afford it, B, that loved your services because, hey, they get beat up a lot because I'm assuming NFL players have a lot of aches and pains that come along the way. So I love how you talk about empowering. Oh, there's something else on the tip of my head. I lost it because I got, there was so much you talked about. I wanted to hit on that. I love the empowering aspect of it and just being able to give somebody like a quality care service that, and oh, that's right. It was giving people the tools to, hey, yes, we're going to do some stuff here by all means, but you got some stuff to do on your own and working with people that want that, or at least help them. Or right. It's like the old saying of, right. If you give somebody a fish, they'll eat for the night. If you show them how to fish, right, they'll eat for a lifetime, right? Yes, it's a little more work to go fishing, but once you learn the skill, it becomes easier. My dad's a fisherman. He takes people out fishing and he loves it. Learning the skills, yes, it is a skill and you have to put some time to learn it. But once you learn how to take care of yourself, it's just clockwork. You just be able to do it. And I think that's so, I love how you say, hey, giving someone the tools to treat themselves or at least put the work in to better themselves. That's awesome.
And I think that's, I was just going to say, like, I always, wherever, because I'm a military spouse, so wherever we're stationed, I always have this incredible network. I usually meet different healthcare professionals. Some of them become a part of my care team, right? Helping to take care of myself as an athlete, or if I'm trying to, you know, address something with my health needs. But, you know, here in Maryland, I haven't come across many really solid physical therapists that I would be comfortable referring to, because, you know, I hear a lot of those models of, you know, come come into the office. There you go. That's the word I was looking for. Come into the office, you know, you're going to come in for this amount of sessions and, you know, we kind of sort of look at you, but not really. You know, it's really hard to find a gem of a physical therapist. And, you know, I was just so excited to meet you because I felt like, yes, you actually are going to take that model of caring and you're going to be totally taking into consideration the entire body, that specific person's hobbies, like what they love to do as a recreational person. You take into consideration if they have any performance goals. It was just so comprehensive, and it was so, the attention to detail and the personalized plan was just, I get so excited when I meet people like you. I'm like, yes, someone I can finally refer to.
You're flipping the script. Are you interviewing me? What's going on?
Oh.
I really appreciate it, Luis, because my plan wasn't to talk too much about myself on this, but I you bring up a great point of like, it's an uphill battle. Like when, especially trying to change a system of, I mean, there's a lot of PT practices like in Frederick and just in Maryland in general. Some of them I know are better than others. I'm not going to name names on here, but there are those practices, and it's more of an old school way of doing it where it's for some reason in New York, it's kind of why I left New York, just the state of New York, just the physical therapy there is just, it's a lot more of the shake and bake, get them in, get them out. There's a little bit, there's definitely here in Maryland, yeah, not as bad, but it's just, even from my personal experience was when I was in high school and running, I had some low back pain and knee pain, which was basically because my hips were tight and my upper back was tight. And I was compensating with my low back and my knees. So I would go to the physical therapist and they had their one method of treatment, which is called McKenzie. All you do, essentially, it's you have a disc displacement in your back and we're just going to bend your back. You'll be good to go. And didn't really work, didn't work very well for me at all. So I know what it's like to go to a physical therapist or go to a physio and just, right, go to a healthcare provider and not feel heard and like not have your specific needs taken into account. In my case, like nobody specialized in distance running, right? Nobody specialized in treating CrossFit athletes. And these are two huge populations. Right. In your case, NFL athletes, right? Like you have to know how to treat these people. And if you're just a generalist, it's the same thing as an orthopedist, right? Or versus your primary care physician. Mm-hmm. They've had extra training and they know the body more, right? They just have, or a cardiologist or a neurologist, right? If you have a cardiac issue, you should probably go to the cardiologist, not your family care provider. So just having that extra level of knowledge, I really appreciate you saying that, Luis, because it's uphill battle on my end just to talk about it and have people understand it. But no, I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
How's your shoulder and your squat doing, by the way?
Very good. Yeah. You know, it's funny. You know, just the one little stretch that we did with my neck, I was like, oh, there's my shoulder opening up and I can, you know, optimize results much better in my lifting, you know, just better range of motion.
Yeah. I forgot the neck was getting you. Yep. That stretch is, you have to work with me to get the stretch, guys. You gotta.
That was worth it right there. That stretch.
Just the one, the golden stretch. But tell everybody about, so how long did you work in the NFL for?
So I worked in the NFL about 5 or 6 years, but, it was a wonderful dream career. I actually was able to contract with healthcare systems as well. So I worked in, for a hospital system as a massage therapist, medical massage therapist, worked with the NFL athletes, my own business, and even worked with a really awesome chiropractor back in Ohio out of his office. So he just kind of needed someone to refer to, and we just kind of worked together, you know, in that model of referrals. But it was a really fun career, and, you know, you never know what to expect in life, though. And I met up with a good friend from college, and he was active duty Army at the time. And we met up at that right time in life, reconnected, started dating, and I became a military spouse, which also means I'm a nomad. We move constantly.
You've chosen the nomadic life, apparently.
Yes, yes. So we've moved 9 times in 11 years. And also having 2 kids now, the massage therapist for pro athletes is a very high demand job. And I prioritize my athletes' care and traveling with them. And that was not sustainable, not only throughout the relocations, but with having 2 kids and a husband. So okay. My journey has been dynamic across the field of wellness since then. Just as a byproduct of the moves and not always knowing what to expect in the job market. But I've always continued on this pursuit of obtaining credentials, of continuing to learn, exploring, you know, simple and realistic solutions across the field of wellness. So it's been quite the journey since those days of sports and medical massage therapy. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. So which teams did you work for? Was the Bengals, you said?
So it was the Cleveland Browns primarily.
Oh, okay.
And then Detroit Lions. I had a couple guys get traded up there, and they just didn't quite have the sports massage therapy they were looking for. So they would bring myself and another therapist up a couple days per week. I did actually get hired by MLB right before I made that final move. I moved from Ohio to New York to be with my husband, who came back after two year long tours across seas in combat. So I did the job interview, got hired, and I was like, I had to move to be with my husband. So wow. I sort of left that career behind for a little while.
So you were a MLB massage therapist for a day.
I interviewed and but you know, any sort of pro athlete that would come into town, even like the Radio City Rockettes would come into Cleveland, they'd be looking for good massage therapy. So word got out that there was myself and a couple other therapists that just had a skill set that was very different, mm-hmm. and in high demand for this more comprehensive approach, kind of a blend of, you know, athletic training type concepts. We had additional credentialing, so our scope of practice was a little bit larger. Nice. In terms of like exercise and stretching recommendations on top of massage therapy. So it sold well with elite athletes in Cleveland.
Awesome. It sounds like you had a great time doing it, but definitely, well, first of all, thank your husband for serving, because he's active, right? So
we are active.
How long is it going to be in for?
He has 5 more years. Four to 5 more years. Yeah, we're at the 15, 16 year mark.
He's almost there.
Yeah, he is.
So tell me about the Team Valentine project, because I know you wrote the book on it, but tell me all about kind of how that got started and what you're doing now.
Yeah, so it's interesting because Team Valentine Project is essentially a nonprofit rebrand of my sports medical massage therapy business. over the years in obtaining these additional credentials and as an exercise physiologist, master's in public health, I am a certified health educator and all sorts of wonderful wellness credentials. I have worked in each duty station in a very different position. Mm-hmm. So I have experience working as a community health wellness expert, designing wellness programs for an entire school system. I've been a health policy analyst for a health department. I have published research twice with the U.S. Army Public Health Center, and that was across the spectrum of wellness. We did a population health report, helping senior leaders to identify the areas of wellness where, if they're going to start a wellness program, where could they get the biggest bang for their buck by looking at their troops' medical data and their records. So it was really kind of a cool project to, it was a research fellowship. So I truly learned a lot in that role. I've worked in traditional exercise physiology work, so running community wellness initiatives, exercise testing. And so throughout this journey, really learning all these tips, tricks, and tools to help others live well. And I wanted a place to share that because, you know, over time, I didn't want to lose what I was learning, right? And as if I am this health coach or a wellness expert sharing tips, I needed a forum to do it. I wanted to give back, to impact, to help others empower themselves. Like we were saying, those, what are the ways to make wellness work? I don't know exactly what might work for you, but if you're looking for a solution, here's a place where you can come and find reliable, simple, and realistic wellness information. So Team Valentine Project became that mission to empower people to empower themselves.
Yeah, cool. So essentially it's, hey, the point of Team Valentine Project is, yes, to help people say, hey, we might not have all the answers, but this is at least going to get you started and pointed in the right direction, right?
Yeah, it's a blog. So I have wellness articles there. Instagram, Facebook, where I write, you know, little tips and tricks, but it really is simple and realistic ways to live a vibrant, healthy life.
Tell me about The Art of Breaking Through, the book that you wrote.
Yes. So as I exercised becoming a more proficient health educator and health communicator through Team Valentine Project, I was also in my research fellowship with an hour commute each way. So here I was in the car and I would write content or speak content into my phone for the wellness blog. Mm-hmm. But I had a very interesting life situation occur during that time too, where at the age of 33, I got diagnosed with osteoporosis. So in that experience of, you know, becoming a wellness expert, but then, oh, here I am telling senior leaders simple and realistic ways to live a vibrant, healthy life. Now I have to save myself.
Yes.
You know, like, woo, wellness expert. Like I felt knocked off my pedestal. Like now I have a disease to help treat. What am I going to do with that? So in that process of processing a healthcare diagnosis like that and really trying to research solutions, I wrote a book called The Art of Breaking Through. And it was 5 simple steps to take on any challenge and overcome self-doubt. And they were all evidence-based solutions. But as I've learned, if we're like sitting there just, you know, regurgitating a bunch of heavy language, complex language, and really in-depth scientific explanations, people don't, you're not going to listen to that. You're not going to apply that. So I took the book and made a very simple solution. It's, I believe, only 86 pages. It's very short, to the point, and very practical. And it's a solution, 5 step, simple steps to apply to any challenge life brings your way. It helped me save myself years ago. And then I finally published a couple of months ago in the heart of the pandemic. Was inspired to truly publish because we were facing so many obstacles. They were just coming left and right for everyone.
I love how you say that, right? You had this issue, right? You're like, it's more like, hey, I had this issue on my own. And it sounds like that was a huge motivating factor to write the book. Like that, right? You had, oh, I have osteoporosis. Like, you know, I'm this health and wellness coach. Like I, you know, if I can't take care of myself, how can I tell other people? You know, it sounds like, was that a kind of a motivating factor? Like, it sounds like it was humbling too. Like, hey, I need to, right? I have to work on myself. I'm going to be telling people to follow me and follow what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I took a moment to just process because I truly believe in feeling the painful and the dark moments too. So mm-hmm. I did take quite some time just to sit with my frustration, my anger at having a diagnosis. But in that exercise of feeling all the feels, as I call it, I realized that, you know, so many people have come to me over the years and they're like, wow, you're so resilient as a military spouse. You keep having this career, like you're optimizing your performance after having kids, like you're so strong, you're so capable. And I'm like, you know what? I think everyone is. And I'm like, and then I was frustrated with myself for having the doubt. I'm like, you know what? I'm sick of hearing people say that they can't overcome challenges too. Like, I firmly believe we are all perfectly capable of overcoming any obstacle life brings our way. And I examined how I've done it in the past. And I realized it was this very simple 5-step solution, applied what I was learning in my research fellowship at the time as well, and came up with my 5-step process and used it to save myself at that time. And then years down the road, like I said, because I was a military spouse, I switched jobs and I never published the book because I started a new job. So I needed to focus on that. But here in the heart of the pandemic, my dad got diagnosed with cancer. I got a precancerous diagnosis with my stomach. And I was just watching the world around me and everyone in this mindset of challenge after challenge, life is so hard right now. What are we going to do? I'm like, wow, talk about a time for a simple 5-step process to overcome challenges being more relevant than ever. This needs to get across the finish line. And I got inspired to publish the book before my dad, you know, his cancer would progress any further, you know, just something that he could see hold in his hand as, wow, my daughter's impact will have a ripple effect. Of all the values I instilled in her will mm-hmm. will impact the world in a positive light. So I had multi-motivation to publish the book.
Wow. I love how you said that, you know, everybody thought that you were this kind of just resilient sort of a, you know, kind of essentially it sounded like people thought you were, hey, you were different and like very, very resilient and didn't feel the same emotions that we do, but it's like, no, like I feel the same things. But it sounds like you were like, kind of went through the 5 stages of grief when you had their osteoporosis cancer, but it's more like, hey, being able to process it and deal with it the right way, which I think I haven't read the book yet, but I'm going to guess it's probably what the book is about of, hey, how to have a challenge, how to, instead of ignoring it and just kind of shoving it down, maybe face it, like, yeah, probably going to not feel too good facing it because I've done that many times and it's definitely not very comfortable doing that. But once you do, and you can get, it's like learning a new skill. Any fear you have facing it and getting over it, it's like, oh, that felt pretty good to accomplish and beat this thing. I think, so is that kind of what the book's about?
Yeah. So it's truly, I do use real life examples. So from my own life, whether it's my health diagnosis, losing friends in combat, career struggles as a military spouse. And I also talk about optimizing performance as an athlete. So I really designed it in a way that my real life examples illustrate the 5 steps, but it's truly about the reader's challenge, whether that's a personal goal or you really are facing a painful life experience that you're processing, an obstacle that you really don't feel like is going anywhere, is bringing you down, is depressing you. Because I've been there, right? I've felt lost. I've been angry. I've been depressed. And I've been doubting myself. And so the whole concept of the book is this inner dialogue, a super simple solution that you can just flip when you need it. And, you know, it's 5 simple steps, but you really can get it down to about 3 once you really learn it. And it's short, it's simple, and it's all about exercising confidence in the face of uncertainty. How do we dig into that confidence? Because once we dig into that confidence in the face of uncertainty, we're unstoppable. We really truly are.
I think the simplicity is probably going to be very attractive to people, because if it's not that, I wouldn't say it's easy, but keeping it simple and maybe easy to follow, maybe the steps are hard, but something where it's like, okay, if it's set out in front of me and I'm like, I can understand it, I'm much more likely to do it than if I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing and it's going to be challenging. So I think keeping I think it sounds like you have the process very simplified, even though yes, these steps may be challenging, but still the process simplified to be able to boom, you know what to do and you can do it, which I think that's, if you can simplify things for people in today's age, that's a good thing. And it sounds like it's really going to help too, because that's, having mental fortitude, like in today's society, I think is a huge thing. I know, you probably know as an entrepreneur and even me myself, like there's so many challenges that I've had to face recently where I'm like, if I didn't have a system to fall back on and say, hey, or having someone to talk to or something like that, then it's definitely, COVID, right? Whole year of craziness. A lot of mental issues can probably be brought out by this, and depression, anxiety. I think the list probably goes on and on, but I think the book can probably, if anybody is interested in doing that, we'll talk about it at the end, but I think it can help a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And also it's, all profits of the book go towards, paying for my father's medical bills, because he does not only suffer from cancer, but he did spend about 23 days in the hospital with COVID. So our medical bills were just through the roof. And, you know, it's this beautiful way that the proceeds of the book can go towards this family relief fund for my parents and give back as much as possible. So in the spirit of the book of overcoming challenges, it's helping to overcome the challenge of my parents, who I love more than anything. So it's kind of a beautiful mission, full circle with the book.
Yeah. No, that's very nice. Tell me, so what do you do for, I know you have the Team Valentine Project, but what else do you do for a living right now?
Yeah. So, after earning my master's in public health, I did complete my research fellowship and we inevitably relocated. So I did not stay with the Department of Defense, just based on where we were located, and found a position with a company called VEDA Health. It's VHEDA. And it is a healthcare technology company. And we specialize in chronic disease management, work with health plans for increasing member compliance to their care plans. And here recently, we are going to be unveiling a solution, a caretaker solution for the average consumer. So all of America, nationwide, a lovely solution for anyone who has a loved one who they're separated from that needs some good care and support. So we're really excited for that.
I think there's a common theme here of, it seems like you seem to choose career paths that are focused on kind of a selfless career path of helping other people.
Absolutely. But what's interesting is a lot of these, you know, entrepreneur type businesses that I've had, or even in this new product, our friends and family solution for VEDA Health, it's a lot of times a painful point in my life for which I developed a solution and then talked with others, realized there was a need, started testing concepts, and then found that special like golden alley where, okay, this is the lane of the product or the end result of the program that needs to occur after my own pain, sharing that struggle, hearing the struggle of others, and designing solutions to meet a need.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's, again, I could talk days and days about how our stories are similar, but and it's, again, you're doing this on your own, because it's like, right, I don't think you know too many people that are probably doing what you're doing, because I'm kind of a reluctant entrepreneur. Like I didn't decide, I was kind of forced into it because nobody was doing, right, this kind of cash-based and one-on-one physiotherapy model and performance therapy model that I was doing, and seeing distance runners and CrossFit athletes and people that are active, right? No one was doing that in Frederick or even in Maryland and Northern Virginia. So I'm like, I have to do this, right? Like I can't stand my other job. I have to do this. So I love, it's, it sounds like you may have. So did you, do you feel like you were also a reluctant entrepreneur, or just said, hey, this is something that I just really want to do and I'm just going to do it? Or did it become something?
So with the Vita Health solution, luckily, you know, one thing that I did is I just, you know, heard you say you, when you find the right people to impact with, it's really, it not only lifts you up, but the problem that you're solving, your ability to do it, and the impact that you can have as a result is so much greater. So in this instance, the entrepreneurs, the president, the CEO of Vita Health are very open to collaborating with their employees and treat everyone like a leader. So I've really been able to step up in this leadership role. And we actually use our care package, the one that for Medicare, Medicaid, chronic disease management populations. And we were just sending them to our friends and family in need. And in my dad's story, when he got admitted to the ICU, here was a military spouse away from my dad who was suffering from, you know, low blood pressure episodes, pulse ox dips, getting short of breath. And so we just sent him the Vita Health care package. And I could help remote monitor him. And then our support teams would also support my dad. So here I was away. My dad needed support. And this is a way that I can still provide support for my father from afar. And then our Vita support teams will call and check in on him when he uses the medical devices and he has like a slight dip. Mm-hmm. They'll identify those points where, hey, Louise, your dad needs to be checked in. Louise, your dad needs to be, you know, we're going to help connect him to his doctor. So it's the solution where I know that the Vita support teams are taking care of him, and it gives me peace of mind and my sister's peace of mind. And it's a really great way to catch care needs early, mm-hmm. to get his doctors involved proactively upstream in intervening, yeah. right? Not waiting until my dad's pulse ox is, you know, 86 again, and he needs to be admitted yeah. to the ICU, which is what happened, right?
Yeah.
We could have caught that earlier had he been using this solution. So now, as my dad's recovering, it's just incredible to have him being remote monitored, and it gives everyone peace of mind and it empowers him. You know, he can take his device readings to his doctor, and they can look at him and say, okay, my dad, I love him to death, but you know, it's like elderly population sometimes, like you ask him how they're doing, I'm great. Or like, yeah. I guess that's anyone. It's not just elderly, but especially like my parents, right? Yeah. Like their doctor asks them how they're doing. I'm great. It's like, no, he looks at my dad's blood pressure. He's like, Terry, what's happening? You know, he can see patterns and trends. And
160 over 70, what are you doing?
Yeah, or like when it really falls. And because post-COVID, you know, something that we're noticing is just erratic blood pressures and pulse ox readings. Like, and one time he does have high blood pressure, the next minute it's super low and he's passing out.
Oh, wow.
So it's crazy. And now having the solution to deliver nationwide for those who are away from a loved one, they don't have the time or expertise to provide care themselves, will be available here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's awesome. It sounds like you're, yeah, like I said it before, like you seem to be working for companies or for yourself and doing things that are helping other people. I mean, especially your dad too. How's he doing, by the way?
He is doing much better, much better. We're a little unsure where his cancer is. So now that he has had all this post-COVID check-ins, he's going to get see where his cancer progression is at. It's still erratic. You know, the blood pressure readings, some days it's high, some days it's low, but he's walking without a walker, which is huge. Yes. And it was just amazing to see the impact the coronavirus had on him, though, because he was a bowler. He was a farmer before this.
Yeah.
And then he went to like using a walker and always being short of breath. And
oh my gosh. So
I know a lot of people experience COVID and it's not a big deal. It's just a cold,
yeah.
but there is a population out there that this is definitely having life altering impact on as well. This just, it's there.
That made sense how in shape he was like going into that, like that probably saved him.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
But I'm glad he's doing well. Just with what talk with Louis, I always love talking with you too, because it's like, I've only talked to you like a couple times, but like every time I'm like, we have so much in common. And just the fact that like we both went into a system of, right, like physical therapy. The people that one of my mentors has a saying, I want to do dope shit with dope people, right? I want to do cool things with cool people. And the current model, a lot of not all of it, but a lot of the insurance-based model is just kind of like, it's not that it's boring, but it's just not doing what I want to do. And the people that are doing this are the people that are like performance-based therapists and people that are pushing the envelope of, hey, people that are active and are healthy and want to be healthy. Like there's another solution than just going to PT 2 or 3 times a week and hoping to get better from your therapist. And there are some great therapists. There's some in the area that I know are fantastic, but other times slapping heat packs on and ultrasounding it's not going to do anything. And I think just for talk with you, like your story of you didn't even get into kind of, because so many people are like, they see me and they say, hey Matt, like, I just don't want to be on my, like one lady I'm seeing right now, she had 2 back surgeries. She's had 20 years of back pain. She has a drop foot on one side, which essentially because her nerves are getting so pinched, she's losing the strength in her foot. Right. And all I did was like, your hips are super tight. We got to mobilize these. Now she can walk better and move better. I'm like, and her doctor, her orthopedist told her you can never twist and bend again. And no offense to the orthopedist, but you know, that's what they do. They do surgeries and that's what they're good at. But I'm like, and she had been to another physical therapist and just, she said she was treated like she was made of glass. And I'm like, no, you're not made of glass. You can move. You have a strong back, even though you've had 2 surgeries. You just keep your back just gets thrown all over the place because of how tight and mobile you are. So, I mean, that's been my experience with it, of just the people I see have been burned by the system that has all good intentions, but with the model that's out there, they're not able to get the care they want. And I think it resonates so well with you, speaking with you, of how you've noticed that and said, hey, I don't want to. It sounds like you found out pretty early that you didn't even go into the professions that you'd like, hey, that's this medical doctor thing. It's not really for you, or being a dietitian. So it sounds like you just said, you kind of bypassed it. I'm going to rate to massage therapy and doing your own thing, which probably saved you a little bit of time.
Yeah. Someone asked me the other day, would you ever expect that you would be in the role that you are today? And I was like, absolutely not. But you know what? I was evidence-based, but not evidence-limited. And I questioned a lot of things along the way. And if someone tells me that I have to do something or this is the way, I automatically am going to question. Because I'm questioning my own mental models. And that's how I've grown and developed over the years. But I definitely think that if we had more people just questioning, researching for themselves, our eyes would be opened to how to optimize our own well-being. And just what works for a friend on the road might not necessarily work for you. My husband is vegetarian. He loves it. He believes it optimizes his performance. For me, it killed my lab work. Like I need to eat really good quality meat. That's how I optimize my well-being. And it's just that dynamic right there, you know, it throws people off. They're like, wait, what? do you cook 2 different meals? Like, no, we make it work. But
to destroy your iron level?
No, it was actually my amino acid profile. I think it was more of a gut health issue, which I've been working on over the years. But at the time, remaining vegetarian just wasn't going to serve my body well. So
you got to combine the foods the right way. You just weren't doing it the right way. I'm just joking. But it's definitely like, I just love talking about it because it's definitely a point of it's tough for us to break through to get people to understand that, hey, yes, maybe it might be a little more expensive to go this route. But if you've been doing the same thing for let's say my girlfriend, for instance, right? She's been eating pasta. She eats pasta, right? She's Italian. She likes to eat pasta. And she found out recently that when she stops eating pasta and she eats white rice, because there's no gluten in rice, she doesn't have as many digestive issues, right? There probably is maybe a research article on that, but right, that's just her own research that she did on her own, which, hey, I don't really respond well to this. And you can say, oh no, Matt, that's not good research. I'm like, well, I mean, a lot of the research that's out there now, Like there's the knees over toes guy. I'm sure you've heard of him on YouTube, but he's doing a lot of stuff with, which I love following him because it's a lot of, there's a research article out of Duke in the 70s that said, hey, the more you bend your knee and the more your knee, if you're doing a squat, the more your knee goes beyond your toes, right? It increases the force on your patellofemoral joint, your knee joint, and it potentially can cause knee pain. And yes, but if you also have horrible activation of your hamstrings, that's also going to cause that. But this guy's doing all this crazy stuff and documenting it. And essentially YouTube is researching what he's doing. And he's absolutely killing it, right? He's like this like 40-inch like vertical jump and like doing all this crazy stuff with his knees. And I'm like, holy cow. This guy's doing something that all the PhDs have no idea what they're doing, right? Like he's out here doing it and not knocking, right? Continuous research, but all right, like what I can do with a patient when I mobilize them and say, oh, my calves feel better. That's awesome. I'm like, well, let's not do anything for a week. See what happens. Come back. And then, of course, the same thing happens. And we mobilize. It feels better. I'm like, well, this is repeatable. This is measurable. There's inter-rater reliability. I could show you how to do it, Luis. Inter-rater reliability. Inter-rater reliability, right? These are standards of research. And is this not research, right? Just because it's not a randomized controlled trial perfectly done with I understand all that the reason for it and certainly helps with medications and developing drugs, but don't be afraid to do research on your own. I think that's huge. And just because there's not an article out for something doesn't mean that what you're doing is wrong. I think that's a good thing to highlight as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just even looking at H33, getting the osteoporosis diagnosis, and they wanted me to go on a lifetime of medication. Like multiple doctors thought that the osteoporosis medications were the solution. It's like, I looked into the research and Harvard has published about how all they do is build the outer shell of the bone.
Yeah.
It becomes strong-ish without that, you know, inner matrix. It fractures over time. So here, this is a solution for maybe someone who's 80 and has a few years left of life. You know, like they're not looking to have another 50 years of life like I am. And so this solution was not going to treat the root cause. So I had to get into, you know, my micronutrient profiles. I looked into, you know, different scans of my body to see what could potentially be the cause. And, you know, here I was not optimally digesting and assimilating food. So I had nutrient deficiencies, tremendous lifestyle stress. So with lifestyle changes, with good nutrition, with exercise appropriate for rebuilding bones like plyometrics and strength training, here I am reversing my osteoporosis without medication. But had I gone and just listened to my doctor, I'd be chugging pills.
Chugging pills, right? And that's what a lot of people, right? They're kind of over that. I understand pills are great, but and my sister's a pharmacist. She's the head of poison. She actually knew she didn't want to do the whole pill counting. I shouldn't say that. It's not a good way to say it. But essentially, she knew she didn't want to work as a traditional pharmacist. So she is the head of poison control at not Grady. That's not in Atlanta. She's in Kansas City. I forgot what the hospital's called. But she's a head of poison control in Kansas City at a big hospital there. So she knew she didn't want to. She knew that. Yes, that's kind of oversaturated with pharmacists. So she wanted to go a different route. So I guess me and my sister are kind of similar where we try not to, we like to kind of deviate from the normal. But I think a lot of people are not, yes, medications are great. And I understand there's a benefit to them. But I think a lot of people are especially with the opioid epidemic we recently had, I think people are a little bit turned off by just saying, hey, take this pill. By all means, like I flare something up. Hey, maybe take an anti-inflammatory, take an Advil or ibuprofen. Cool, right? Took the second COVID shot, felt like crap, took some Advil. That helped a lot. Thanks, medication. But
you better bet I took some Tylenol after that second one.
I'm totally for it. But I think for chronic pain issues, right? Like people are really over the whole, hey, let me just take an ibuprofen every single time I run or every single time I try and do something. And I think that's huge. I love how you kind of talked about the medication at the end of not wanting to be on that. And also the other thing was, I listened to a lot of like Kelly Starrett and a lot of my experience has been the best therapists and best practitioners privately on their own, right? The best solutions to things. That's why I want to learn from them is there's no research art There's no research on it yet, right? It's just a private course that you have to take, and you learn, oh, it's pretty cool, right? Like the Gray Institute, which another trainer I had on, he's a big Gary Gray guy. And like that stuff, like that is, it's like the pinnacle of just athletic performance. And for a therapist as myself, that's what I want to learn, right? The research articles, that's great. To me, that's like the baseline of, hey, you should probably know this, but a lot of the best methods out there, there's no research on it yet. So that's something that I just want people to know that, hey, it's great to know your research, but the best stuff out there yet is known by a few people. And my goal is to learn from those people. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I have this awesome skill now. So there was something else I want to talk about it, but it's eluding me. Do you have anything else you want to put in, Louise? Because we've been talking for a while.
No. I mean, I think we covered a lot of awesome things, you know. I think we both share our same mission to develop solutions where we just truly care about whether it's a patient, a client, mm-hmm. or someone we love on the other side, you know, of how we're delivering care. We're aiming to empower others. We're trying to keep it simple, realistic, just a solution that will serve their need.
I agree. It's because if I talk to you, Luis, and you're like, hey, Matt, no, I'm just doing this to make money, you know, to have a business and be an entrepreneur. That's a horrible reason to become an entrepreneur just to make money. And it's because you're gonna quit pretty fast because there's a lot of obstacles. And even for my pace, my point of view, it's right. I'm doing what I'm doing for certain reasons because I really want to help people and would have quit a long time ago if it was just to make money. So like we have these deep reasons of why we're doing this and why we want to help people. And just from talking with Luis, I can just, even the way you talk and how you explain yourself, I can just hear it in your voice of how much you actually care about, right? Like your father and what you do and Team Valentine Project, which I love hearing that because it's, hey, somebody who cares about what they do and right. Yeah. Not making a whole lot of money from it, but doing it because, hey, you believe in it. And that's awesome.
Yeah. And then also too, you know, just as a consumer, realizing that, you know, at the practitioners like myself as a sports massage therapist for, you know, more of a, it was a higher rate per hour because I was coming to people's homes. I had multiple credentials that I was combining to provide this service. And I know for yourself, you know, it might be higher than what's covered by insurance. But the results you will get as a byproduct of that session will save you time, money, pain. I mean, it's truly priceless when you have a good provider using this model of authentically caring about your need. So pay a little bit more upfront and end up with a lifetime of a solution versus bouncing around poor provider, you know, not necessarily poor provider, but not a specific customized solution, you know?
Yeah. That's exactly why, like, I guarantee you, like the Kardashians, they probably pay an out-of-pocket doc for they probably pay out of pocket. Maybe they have insurance, but like, that's why, because people that have a lot of money realize that, not that, because I see people that are just normal people, right? Middle-class, even I literally see everybody because the people that work with me, and it's frustrating because I do get the people that I try and explain it as best I can, but it's hard for them to, they say, oh, I have insurance. Why don't you take my insurance? And I'm like, well, because of X, Y, and Z, it's the paperwork. It's the reimbursement so low. It's the quality of care. And then they understand that, but it's still the money aspect gets them. And I totally understand. I'm like, hey, Matt, I just don't have the money. Cool. That's totally fine. But this is like working with me or working with Luis here is it's an investment in your health, right? Yes, is it more expensive? Sure. It's definitely going to be a little more expensive. But the reason why is because, as you were saying, I know what happens when you don't get this quality of care. Right. And the reason I'm doing this is because it happened to me. And I don't mean to get kind of heated about this, but like I'd had my college career of running was cut short because I had so much knee pain and back pain. And I would go to these in-network therapists and I would not get better. Right? They could not solve my problem. So for me, I was forced to solve it on my own, which I have, which is awesome because now I can run and do CrossFit and do what I want. But yeah. I know how frustrating it is when you go to a provider and you just provider search and you have this problem and you just kind of get half better, but don't get fully better. And you don't learn how to take care of it on your own because that freaking sucks. And I know exactly what that's like. and doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, is the definition of insanity. So it's that's not motivation to change. I don't know what is, but being able to understand that, like going, like working with Luis or working with me, is an investment in your health and well-being. And it's an investment because, right, if you have knee pain when you run and you just say, oh, I'm just going to ignore it, it's no big deal. Okay, well, what's going to happen in 10 years? Or you go to a provider and it temporarily gets better, but it comes back, right? You're wearing away your cartilage, you're causing inflammation, you're wearing down your joints, and you're probably going to have a premature knee surgery when you're like 50 or 40 years old. And I don't want, like, that's what I know is going to happen. And I don't want that to happen for you. Like, I'd like to, hey, let's change this. There's a different option, and let's have you run well into your 60s and 70s. Right. Maybe even right for the rest of your life. So, mm-hmm. And that's why I do this, because I know the potential that people can have. But it can be frustrating when someone, but it's hard for someone to see that, but I digress. I've talked too much. But Luis, I think we had
I absolutely agree.
We had a great conversation. So let's just, if someone wants to reach out to you, how would they do so? Like Instagram, Facebook, how would they find you?
Yeah, so on Instagram and Facebook, it's at Team Valentine Project. The website is teamvalentineproject.com. I am on LinkedIn as a professional. If you want to connect with me professionally, check out my resume, if you will. And then I work as a director of client services for Vida Health. So that's VHEDA Health. And pretty soon we'll have our friends and family solution up. They're available for the public. So if anyone was interested in that little tidbit that I shared, this is where you can find that solution that I'm currently working to develop and get out nationwide.
Nice. So guys, please reach out to her if you have any questions. I'll also, when I post this, I'll put some links in when I post it on Instagram. So I'll put some links there as well to your website and stuff like that. But Luis, it's been a pleasure having you on, and we could probably talk for another hour, but we should probably cut it here.
Good.
Thanks for coming on. And guys, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. Hey, wait a minute, guys. I just wanted to say thanks for listening to the podcast today. And if you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support this podcast, please share this with others by taking a screenshot of this episode and posting it to your story on Instagram and tag Alpha Project Physio so we can repost it. And to stay up on all the latest from me, please follow Alpha Project Physio on Instagram and Facebook, and then subscribe to the Alpha Project newsletter at www.alphaprojectphysio.com. See you guys next time.